Hey kittens, this is Vivid Muse from the Girls Rules podcast, and you're listening to the tasty, nom-tastic, Nutty Bites.
Nutty Debate.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nukchas, and we are going to have a nutty debate today. With me, I have some special guests. I have Ms. Claire Lefer.
Hi.
Angela Fowler.
Hi.
And Heather, how do you see your last name?
Nix.
There you go. And we are going to be talking about our favorite female superheroes. And I really wanted to do this topic mostly in reaction to a lot of misogynistic stuff going on in the news lately. I've been feeling very weighed down by a lot of this stuff. Everybody has, I'm sure, heard about the infamous boobs on the ground critique of the fighter pilot from United Arab Emirates. I'm sure we've all seen the horrible stuff, what are they calling it, Gamergate going on. And then this morning I wake up and I see there's two pajamas for kids, and one says, I want to be a hero when I grow up with the Superman emblem, and the other one says, I want to date a hero when I grow up with the Superman emblem.
No.
Because, of course, women can only date superheroes. They can't actually be superheroes. But we're here to prove them all wrong. And before we get into that, I just want to give everyone a little bit of background on my guests here tonight. Claire is from the Intro to X podcast, yes?
Yes.
And your other podcast was Carnicast.
Yep, I did Carnicast, which was about Carnival on HBO. We're doing Intro to X now, but X-Files for a few years because we're already halfway through. And possibly another podcast next year.
Yay! And the reason I invited Claire for this is because if you listen to Intro to X, she's always talking about superheroes and comic books, and it's fantastic. So I said she'll know what she's talking about. Next, we've got Angela Fowler from the Sherlock's Through the Pages of Sherlock Holmes podcast, and formerly of the Red Dwarf Introcast.
Red Dwarf Introcast is still kind of going on.
Yeah, but you're not really an intro cast. You're just waiting for new episodes.
No. We're reading the novels, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we've got like a recording planned in October and one in December, so we're going very slowly. But yeah, that's where I'm from.
And Angela not only loves superheroes, but she also dresses up as superheroes.
Yep,
tell us about your Dragon Con costume this year.
Oh, yeah. Recently, when I went to Dragon Con, then he said, hey, let's be part of the big Marvel photo shoot. And I was like, okay, what can I be? So we thought and thought, and I'm like, I'll be Scarlet Witch. That'll be easy to pull off. And so I cobbled together a Scarlet Witch costume. I got the headdress off Etsy. I got, I decided I didn't want to do, like, the leotard and tights thing, because I'm just don't want to show off my legs that much, and I wanted to be a bit more comfortable. So I decided to get this sort of Victorian-y gothy skirt thing from Good Goth.
Nice.
And then this sort of top that would match it, and it turned out really good. I stood outside for about 3 hours, so that was fun.
In Dragon Con.
Oh.
And
yes.
Heather, why don't you tell us a little bit about the podcast that you are developing?
It is Fearless After 40. Let me say first that I'm so thrilled to be here with you guys. I'm super excited. Can't wait to listen to your podcasts and get more delved into what you do. Mine is Fearless After 40, and it's to interview, to educate, get to know, let the world know about amazing things that women are doing after the age of 40. There's such a movement with women right now to change up their lives, do different things after 40, live their dreams, become executives, you know, all that kind of jazzy stuff. I mean, shoot, women are having babies at 43, 45 nowadays. So it's just a huge movement of after 40s, and I'm trying to kind of use it to motivate other women to do amazing things with their lives too.
Fantastic. And as somebody who is approaching 40, I'm just getting started.
Thanks.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's the big key. There's such a I'm sorry, there's such a stereotype with 40 and women that we just all, you know, shrivel up and become grandma sitting on the couch with an Afghan, and that's just complete BS.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sitting on the couch in an Afghan.
Knitting a Hogwarts scarf. All right, so we are going to talk about our favorite female superheroes. And we have a couple of questions in the Q&A, but we will get to those. If you are watching live, you can send us questions by clicking on the little Q&A app and send us your questions. All right. So first we're going to start out. Let's just throw out some names out there. Who wants to be first?
I have one. And you guys probably won't be surprised that it's linked with a certain character of Daredevil. But I really love a Marvel character called Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Who's not that well known, so I didn't know if you guys have heard of her.
I don't know her at all.
No, she's awesome.
Well, you will know her because she's going to have a Netflix series next year. They're doing 4 Netflix series based on heroes, and Jessica Jones is going to be one of them. And it's, most awesomely, it's a female writer and a female showrunner for this character, the one female superhero character that's going to be in this project, and one of the few that's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I love the character because she was part of the Marvel, she's introduced as part of the Marvel Max line, which was a more adult line of comics. And the character was basically a retcon, which I usually don't like, but they kind of wrote her into Avengers and Marvel history. So she went to school with Peter Parker, she is best friends with Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, but the character at the start doesn't have any real powers. She's a private investigator, and she drinks and she swears, and that's probably why I like her. And you find out that she had this past as a superhero, as a member of the Avengers, with, you know, powers of flight. She's got super strength. She was in your typical Marvel origin story. She was in an accident with some kind of radioactive stuff, and of course that gave her superpowers. And there's this whole checkered history to her as to why she gave that up, being an Avenger, and became this private investigator who's very emotionally guarded and quite fragile. And I just love her. And I don't want to give too much away about her because there is going to be a TV series next year. But she's an awesome character. And particularly as she goes on, she really develops, and in ways that you wouldn't see her developing. And when they reveal the horrific past they've given this character, she's just an awesome, relatable, very down-to-earth, more grounded superhero, in my opinion, which is kind of what I like. As I mentioned, I love Daredevil, and I've always gone for the more grounded characters, the street-level characters in comic books and in movies and things, and I think that's why I like her as well. So I just wanted to throw her in there.
Well, I'm looking at her Wikipedia page, and it's almost as long as Black Widow's. So when you said checkered past, wow.
Yeah. I highly recommend. She was in, there was four graphic novels of her Alias series, which is, maybe that's why she doesn't get checked out, because people think Alias and they think Jennifer Garner running around, you know. But there was four books of Alias.
Is it just me, or did Claire go silent?
Yeah, Claire. Okay. Stopped.
Called The Pulse.
Yeah, no,
which was
hear.
To do with the Daily Bugle. I said fascinating things that you didn't hear.
Hey.
Sorry. I highly recommend everyone check out Alias. It's really good.
And it's not Jennifer Gardner or J.J. Abrams.
No, it's J.J. for Jessica Jones, not J.J. for J.J. Abrams.
Excellent. All right, so Angela, give us one of your picks.
One of my picks is actually a fairly recent Marvel. It's a fairly recent series called Ms. Marvel. Mm. And here is my first edition that some very nice person sold
cool.
to me at my comic shop. That's the second. Oh, well, whatever. But yeah, Ms. Marvel is pretty amazing. She is a Pakistani-American teenager. And when I say teenager, it's not like Peter Parker looking like 40-year-old accountant in a sweater fest. She, like, actually looks like a teenager. And she's in New Jersey, and she was sort of part of this event in Marvel where this mist went around the city and was turning everyone into Inhumans. And she got caught in there one night where she was sneaking out of her house to go to a party because, you know, the popular kids were at the party and she wanted to hang out with them. And it was humiliating, and she's going back home, and she gets into this mist, and see, she's already a fan of superheroes, so she, like, writes Avengers fan fiction, which is amazing, by the way, and she passes out, and she sees Carol Danvers, former Miss Marvel, now Captain Marvel, coming down out of the clouds with, I think, Captain America on one side and Iron Man on the other, looking like lost vision, and you know, you got these powers for a reason or something like that. So she named herself Miss Marvel as a tribute to what is now Captain Marvel, and she can change her shape. She can, like, she calls it embiggening and ensmallening. And she mostly gets up to shenanigans. Like, she's really trying to be a hero, but she's also a teenager. And she has to deal with her family, and she has to deal with, like, her identity. Like, she knows she's a minority, but, you know, she's trying to figure out, you know, what her place is in the world. Just, you know, both coming from her sort of ethnic experiences and just sort of being a teenager. And she teamed up with Wolverine, and that was awesome. She told Wolverine that she had written a Wolverine / Storm fan fiction.
Nice. That's awesome. I think she gets extra points just for the fact that Marvel is writing into their canon characters that are writing fan fiction. I just think that is fantastic.
But the thing is, I thought that she would be such a gimmick, and she's not.
No, she, like, does not sound like she is.
No. I mean, the person who's writing it, I think, married into a Pakistani-American family, and G. Willow Wilson, and it's amazing, and the art is amazing. Like, her facial expressions are just so expressive. And right now she's fighting against this anthropomorphic parrot. So, so that is the thing that is happening. Anyway, I don't want to spoil everything, but there's 8 issues out, and it's maybe 9 out now, and it's amazing. It's just the best.
That's fantastic. Okay, Heather, give us one.
Being a product of the 80s, I have to go with, and I know everybody's going to say Wonder Woman, but I got to go with She-Hulk. Are you guys familiar with her?
Yes.
I love She-Hulk. And you know what I love about her, I think, is what she represents. I mean, being a criminal defense lawyer and doing all this, and then embracing the Hulk format permanently and not wanting to go back to her fragile, you know, normal life and wanting to be this powerful person. I just love her. I think she's fantastic.
What I love about She-Hulk, and she was one of my picks, by the way, she's definitely on my list.
Sweet.
Is mine too.
Only when you look at, there's a lot of, like, she characters, you know, Supergirl and Batgirl and She-Hulk, you know, and you look at these characters and you think they're just female versions and they don't have a full character, except She-Hulk does. She-Hulk has her own character, her own strengths, and the fact that she embraces the Hulk, the fact that she stays the Hulk permanently, to me, just gives her so much depth that Bruce Banner does not have.
Exactly. No. And I think what I love about her, too, is that she never, I mean, she's shocked by what goes on because of the blood transfusion that turns her into the She-Hulk, but she never really is like, I hate you, I want you to die, I can't stand you, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, she goes through a period of shock, but it's never like abandonment of Bruce Banner or anything like that. She totally embraces her whole life. I mean, she defends some of them when she's She-Hulk and, you know, does her lawyeristic lifestyle and defends them and helps out. And I just think that's great that it's a whole well-rounded person, you know, as a lot of women are. The other thing that I love about her is that she's 700 pounds and she doesn't care. Yeah. I think that's marvelous.
Absolutely. Yeah, and she's bulky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She is ripped. And the way that they draw her, the way that they draw her is often drawn the way that they draw male superheroes. Whereas Supergirl is tiny with these little skinny stems for legs.
Yeah.
But She-Hulk is massive. And she's like, I'm not bothered.
She has a rib cage.
Exactly.
She's got a six pack. She's got everything. And that is fantastic. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I love the current She-Hulk run. I don't know if anyone's reading it. I can't remember the name of the writer, but he's also an attorney. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I love it. The artwork's beautiful as well, but it's...
Oh, cool.
I love the fact, like, with her as a character as well, she's because she's an attorney as well, she's so intelligent, and she doesn't just, you know, kick ass as the She-Hulk, she also kicks ass in the courtroom, which I love. Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing that I absolutely love about her, and I'm not sure how into detail all of this want to go, but if you look at the pictures of her, the first thing that you notice is A, green, B, her face and her hair.
Yeah.
It's not her chest that is like the predominant feature of her. And, you know, I think so many times in superheroes, it's, oh, I didn't realize that she had blonde hair or red hair. All I saw was, you know, cleavage.
Yeah.
So I love that about her.
I don't see us getting a She-Hulk movie. You know, the current theme is like all these characters are getting movies. I don't see us getting a She-Hulk movie because I don't see Hollywood casting anyone who actually looks like She-Hulk. You know,
Gina Carano.
Well, the thing is, it's like when the X-Men came out and they cast Halle Berry as Storm. Really? I mean, I love Halle Berry. I think she's a great actress. She's horrible as Storm, by the way.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
She's muscular. She's supposed to be older. I mean, in my mind, Storm has always been Grace Jones at age 40.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And they failed. Like, come on, you got to have Storm in the Mohawk. I mean, really.
And I think too that the one that would have been perfect with this, and you guys can just tell me I'm crazy if you want, ladies, but the one that would have done She-Hulk justice, I think, would have been Lucy Lawless. I think would have been fabulous as her.
I agree. She would have been great.
So, the sort of pick the fan pick that keeps getting picked to play her is Gina Carano, which is why I said the name, because every time She-Hulk gets mentioned, it's Gina Carano. It's like, but no offense to Gina Carano, I've only seen her in one thing, but you need someone who's a great actress as well just ripped. It needs to be both, and I think Lucy Lawless would be awesome.
Absolutely. So I'm going to throw my pick out there, which I can't go without saying, obviously, is Wonder Woman. And for the listeners that are not watching, I am holding up a Wonder Woman potato head. I'm not sure if she's married. I don't expect Wonder Woman to be married, so I'm not going to call her Mrs. Potato.
Complete with lasso.
Ms. Potato Head, yes. And I got this from Mr. and Mrs. Uncle Monster. And thank you very much. You guys are awesome. But yes, and Wonder Woman, who I have a cosplay of. It's a steampunk Wonder Woman.
Sweet.
Awesome.
And the reason why I love Wonder Woman is, do I really have to go into the fact that she's strong, she's awesome, she's got her own storyline, she's not connected to a male storyline. Yes, there have been things that were really bad that happened to her. Them taking her powers away, taking away all the things that made her cool. But thank you to Now and the other feminists for basically berating the comic book industry to give her back her powers. It has been awesome. She has always been a strong character, and they have done studies showing that if you stand in the Wonder Woman pose, you feel more confident. And you can see pictures of successful men and women standing in the Wonder Woman pose as regular publicity photos. And it makes you feel more confident. So anytime you're not feeling confident, just stand with your hands on your hips and your legs slightly apart and your shoulders back, and you will feel more confident. because she's awesome. And a lot of people, they diss her. They're like, oh, what's her superpower? She has a lasso that makes you tell the truth. She has a lasso that makes you tell
the
truth.
She's a goddess.
Yeah. Her creator, exactly.
She is a goddess, yes. But her creator helped develop the first polygraph. And so
I didn't know that.
Nice.
He had a vision of the future where he thought women were going to be the dominant gender. And so Wonder Woman was his idea of what this was going to be.
Oh, cool.
There's a lot of other stuff when you go into the creation and his idea.
He was
in a polyamorous relationship. He was into bondage. So, yeah, the rope and everything. But it's
and the fact that when you clink her arm wrist things together, then she suddenly becomes very submissive.
Yeah, there's that too. Every dom is a sub and every sub is a dom, so it all works.
Yep.
But she is a strong and a powerful character that has moved with us through the ages. And even when her outfit gets smaller and smaller, because she started out with a skirt that went to the knees.
She did, yep.
But even though her outfit gets smaller and smaller, it has never changed who she is inside. And some of the comics that I've read recently, there have been some really neat... I read everything out of order, by the way, so my continuity's all messed up. But there have been some great pieces of advice that she seems to give to children, to give to young girls, young boys, everyone. Mm-hmm. And she is a fantastic role model. And who doesn't want to be Wonder Woman? I mean, if they made Wonder Woman underoos for adults, we would all own them.
Why don't they? Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, in more than just size extra small.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with the extra small. It's just I hate the fact that you guys have it and I don't. That's all.
And thanks to podcasting, I now know what underoos are because I never knew before.
Yeah, there you go. The power of the cast. You know, going back to Wonder Woman, don't you think that was a great casting with Linda Carter, though? I think she just was perfect. Her face and that serious look she gets is like, bring it on. I can take you. I think she's great. And now they're talking Susan Eisenberg to play her for, you know, upcoming things. And
I'm not sure. Gal Gadot.
I don't know. I read that Susan Eisenberg was more in
It's Gal Gadot.
Leading more. Oh, well, that's good. I think that's better because I was really in favor of Susan Eisenberg.
Gal Gadot is in the Fast and Furious movies.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a different actress playing her because DC are doing sort of the opposite to Marvel, where Marvel is including their television projects as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But whereas I think DC are having them completely separate because you've got Ben Affleck as Batman in the movie, but then you've got Gotham as well running completely separate.
Yeah.
So I think if they did bring, for instance, Wonder Woman to one of the TV series, whether it's the Arrow or Flash or the upcoming Supergirl one, then maybe they'll have someone different playing her.
Cool.
Maybe.
I
loved Linda Carter. I think Linda Carter was absolutely perfect. And Linda loved playing. Because not only did you get to love Wonder Woman, but you got to love Diana Prince.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Linda Carter was Diana Prince. I mean, that was perfect.
Yeah.
What I would like to see for Wonder Woman is I want to see Gina Torres play Wonder Woman.
She's awesome.
She's fantastic.
No, that would be good.
I think, you know, because she's got that Amazon stature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she can be commanding and soft whenever she needs to be, which is Wonder Woman. So do we have any other ladies that we want to talk about?
I wanted to get out of comics just a little bit.
I was going to mention Storm. But
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Claire.
Oh, no, I was going to say one of mine was Storm. You know, she's a queen and a goddess, and she's awesome, and she can fly, and she has a cape and a mohawk, you know. She's just a master thief.
And
so that was all I had to add to that.
What are the underground people? The Murlocs.
Exactly.
She led the Murlocs. I mean, Storm is fantastic.
The Murlocs.
And she's older. You know, she's not a teenager, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think X-Men actually has a really good track record when it comes to female characters because Storm is awesome. Rogue is amazing. I mean, the fact that she starts out as a villain and then, you know, absorbs
Mystique
Danvers and then becomes a superhero. Mystique is awesome, but she's not a hero. She's a villain.
Kitty Pryde.
And you know what? And you got to say kudos to the X-Men series producers, because you don't have the guys in pants and long sleeves. And I know I must sound like some sort of prude thing, but I have two little nieces, and so now I go and I shop for them and I see all this stuff and I'm like, no, let's have some balance here, guys. Come on there. Let's get this female body shape out of this and let's focus on some other stuff. It just drives me friggin' nuts. But I love that the X-Men, everything, the movies are same outfits, same stuff. You don't have this leotard look for the girls with this low-cut front. Everybody's the same. We're a team. We're working together. Your powers are just as powerful as my powers, and we're all going to kick together. You know, I just love that. Absolutely. So kudos to them.
Yeah, and I'm sure we are all familiar with the Hawkeye. Is it the Hawkeye Initiative or whatever it's called? No, that's the actual comics. The Hawkeye Project, where it's the guy.
Yeah, it's the Hawkeye Initiative, I think.
Yeah, okay, where it's the guy dressed as Hawkeye but doing all of the poses that the female characters do in their outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, guys. Like, really? Really? And I agree. In X-Men, you know, Rogue is covered head to toe.
Yep.
Which makes sense, obviously, by the way. but so is Storm and Jean and Kitty Pryde and everybody else, you know. And sure, Mystique walks around naked, but that works for her character.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a reason for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, even walking around naked, they gave her a sense of hiddenness, especially in her natural form. It wasn't like, hey, look at me, I'm all, you know, this and you could see everything. There was a sense of, well, mystery and illusion and stuff to her too, that I just thought that they really have done fabulous with all of their stuff.
Agreed.
Well, and in the first movie, it was very much about, you know, this blue exotic thing, but they didn't do very many of the villains very well in the first movie anyway, but in the later movies with like First Class, then they've done a great job of fleshing out Mystique's character and motivations and stuff.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. Right.
Just quickly, I'm going to go through a couple of suggestions that were sent in since we're still talking about before we move away from comics. Zatanna. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Zatanna's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? This is from Tibby, by the way. And Tibby also says, The Life and Times of Juniper Lee. I don't know that one very well, but She's very interesting.
No, me neither.
I have to admit, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
And she also mentions the Burka Avenger, which is something that's supposed to be up and coming. I've not heard of that one either. So that looks really interesting.
No, me neither.
Christopher Morris says Carol Danvers, baby, of course.
Yes.
The Camilla Khan and Diana of Themyscira are close seconds. Yes, of course. Diana of Themyscira, by the way, is Diana Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman. let's see. This isn't exactly comics, but they do have comics, so I'm going to include them. The Powerpuff Girls, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sugar and spice and everything nice.
And Mystery Chemical X.
With Ingredient X, yes.
Kinsey Schwartz, by the way, gave me a huge rundown, so I'm going to quickly go through them. Sue Storm of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, she's on my list.
And she started out as the Invisible Girl, blah, blah, blah. Chris.
Can I just input on
her?
I'm sorry. Can I just input on her? She's on my list. And what I absolutely love about her, too, is that she handles the finances for the Fantastic Four. I think that's just.
Well, it makes sense.
Fantastic. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's yes, she's invisible. You know, she's beautiful, but she has a brain.
Well, and in an early issue, Mr. Fantastic like lost all their money and they had to sell off the Baxter Building. So
I hope
she's in charge of the finances.
Exactly.
Kinsey also mentions Dazzler, which is another from the X-Men, which I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
She's not interested in being a superhero, but she always ends up in those situations. And what most people think, oh, she doesn't really have big special powers because it's like a light show, but she ends up able to use that quite often. And he has a really good one that I wanted to talk about, and that's Aunt May.
Heck yeah.
That's a really good one.
Aunt May becomes a herald for Galactus, known as the Golden Oldie. She, together with Franklin Richards, the son of the Invisible Woman, saved the world from being devoured by convincing Galactus to fill up on snack cakes. Really? This was a parody for the Assistant Editor's Month, and it was revealed to have been just a dream, but it's definitely worth mentioning. I don't take that as a dream. I think that's awesome.
I agree.
He also mentioned Spider-Girl, and I think that's it. Yeah. So that's it that I have. Wait, let me just double check before we move on. And yes, we may move
on. With Carol Danvers and She-Hulk... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
With them, I think I was just thinking, with the Marvel films at the moment, I one of the reasons I really would love for them to introduce someone like Carol Danvers is, at the moment, all the female characters they have in the Marvel Universe, the superheroes, you've got Black Widow, you've got Scarlet Witch coming in, they all have that either... The sort of thing you have with Marvel is that they have the sneaky power or the psychic power. Mm-hmm. You know, they're either a spy or they're a psychic. And I just want someone in it who can go toe-to-toe with Captain America and who can actually physically... You know that amazing three-way fight in the Avengers where it was Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man? I want a female in there and give just as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why I would love to see Carol Danvers in that, or She-Hulk or someone like that. It would just... And from what we can see, just the female characters that they are putting into them.
I think Claire's telling us really fascinating things again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She cut out.
Sorry, they were fascinating, yes.
You'll never know them. So let's move on from comic books. Although my first choice, moving outside of comic books, is technically a comic book superhero because it's manga, but Motoko Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell, the Major.
Oh.
She is fantastic. And it could be argued, is she female? Well, she self-identifies as female, so that counts. The reason being, for those of you who have not read the manga or seen the TV shows or movies, she's in a synthetic body, so she could be anything. We really don't know what her true gender is. And there's quite a few things that make it quite possible that she was male. And there is a time that she becomes male because she's in a different body. So she's amazing. She has, like, her and Lilu Dallas, Lilu Dallas from The Fifth Element are quite possibly some of the skimpiest cosplays that you will see, but it doesn't seem skimpy for her because, you know, she's just it's just a shell, you know? It's not a person's body. It's a device. And I don't know how it makes sense, but it just seems to make sense for me. And she is fantastic. And she is the reason I dye my hair purple quite often. Whenever I dye my hair purple, I feel like Motoko.
I think that's a fantastic pick.
And just so you know, there are several people that also champion Motoko as well that have written in about this. And that is Jason Banks from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast, Tech from this podcast. And he actually just walked by my office and shoved the manga in my hands. I'm like, yes, I'm getting to that. I promise. PC Herring. I mean, you name it. There's so many people that have said, oh, you're going to talk about Motoko, right? I'm like, yes, we are going to talk about Motoko. So, outside of comics, give me another awesome superhero.
Buffy. Well,
Buffy. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with Buffy.
Does she count?
It does. Vampires are real. Buffy's a superhero. Don't tell anyone.
Yep.
Yeah. And technically comics, but exactly. She didn't start in comics. Buffy is awesome. Buffy is...
She's amazing.
She shows that you can be strong and weak at the same time, because emotionally Buffy is often very weak, and that's okay. You can be a strong person and have weak moments, and you can be spunky and care about fashion and still kick butt, and that's awesome.
Well, and she's a real person,
yeah,
dealing with real problems, but she always chooses to do the right thing. She may go through some bad choices, but she's eventually going to get around to, you know, okay, I'm not going to go to the party. I'm going to deal with the situation, even though it means not being able to do what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If the apocalypse comes, mm-hmm. beat me.
She had a beeper in 1996.
Yeah. So did I. No, actually, I think I had my first cell phone in 96. I can't remember. But I had a beeper before that.
A giant cell phone.
It wasn't giant. It was probably about the same size as this. It was just fatter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So what do we got? Angela, you got one that's not in comics?
I'm going to go to the Power Rangers.
Go Power Rangers?
And talk about Kimberly and Trini. Just because, well, for one, including Trini in there, because in the original Japanese Super Sentai, whatever, then it was a male in the Yellow Ranger, and they decided to change her to female, just to get a little more diversity in there. And then just, you know, you're not looking for deep writing and characterization in Power Rangers, but seeing the girls there go toe-to-toe with the guys who took up just as much leadership as everyone else and were just such great friends. Like, they were always there for each other. I just remember that being a huge influence when I was really young. That, you know, they were girls and they did girl things, but they weren't, like, weak, helpless girls. Like, there was even one episode where one of the guys was in trouble and, you know, Trini had to go save him. And that was, like, a big heroic moment. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my fandom.
Power Rangers is a bit after my time. I'm a little old for Power Rangers. But the people that I knew who were very into Power Rangers, especially the women, it was a big, the female Power Rangers were huge influences on their lives and great role models. Mm-hmm. So even though it's Absolutely. Not my thing, I respect it because I've seen what it's done. One of the listeners of the show will go on and tell you about how, because of the Pink Ranger, she took martial arts. Because of the Pink Ranger, Aww. She did this. Because of the Pink Ranger, she got interested cool. in other things. That was one of her role models growing up. And that's fantastic. And, you know, we laughed about the Powerpuff Girls, but heck, the Powerpuff Girls were role models to one of my nieces who's now, oh my gosh, she's going to be 21. That makes me feel weird. But she grew up with the Powerpuff Girls as role models, and people laugh about it, but no, that taught her good values. So you can laugh and say something silly, but if it works, it works.
No, they're awesome, too. Yes. Like, fly around and beat my JoJo.
Absolutely. So, Heather, do you have one?
I do. I have a couple of them. My first one, and I know this is going to sound really stupid, but it's because of what happened at the end and because she was great. And I know she's not really a superhero, but you know, she does wear a cape, so I guess, you know, maybe that'll count, although Edna would say no capes. I got to go with Maverna, I can never say her name, McGonagall from Harry Potter.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to, yes, you got to go with her because of at the end where she is the one who steps up and gets everything going, gets, you know, the suits of armor going to defend it, the castle, and gets all the teachers organized and gets the students organized and gets everything, and she steps into that role. Not only has she been, you know, a silent supporter and a superhero in that right all the way through the series, but at the end, I just think she just stepped up and was awesome.
Well,
so
I'm going to
have to throw it out to her.
I'm pretty sure Professor McGonagall has one of those special trading cards of her, so that makes her a superhero. Mm-hmm. She was in the fight in the early days against Voldemort. She, I believe, was part of the Order of the Phoenix. She was always strong.
Yes.
From book one, she was encouraging and very strong.
Yep.
And I love her because she didn't show favoritism.
Yes, exactly.
She was stern on everyone.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And especially if people, if you're listening and you have not read the books, go read the books. Don't just go with the movies.
Yes.
You have to read the books. Throughout the books, she just has a theme about her that she is in charge. She is the boss. She is the head of the house. She is this, you know, Dumbledore's second in command. She is in charge. No questioning. No nothing. It's her way or no way. And I love that.
Yes, I absolutely love her. And I will give the movies credit for casting the perfect person to play her, because that's who I saw in my head when I read the books. Dame Maggie Smith can do no wrong.
Exactly. And with a name like Minerva, see, I got it right. I always get that wrong. You can never go wrong.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we've got from Twitter, Susan Douglas says, Donna Noble, best temp in Chiswick, is her favorite superhero.
Heck yeah.
Bob DeGran from the Dexter podcast says, Emma Peel. Well, she was close enough to the topic, and this had to be my answer. If you are a member of the Mixed Nutcase Facebook group, Bob and Shane answer Emma Peel to everything, so I'm going to assume that that's Shane's answer as well. they're always saying Emma Peel, which I don't argue with. I mean, Emma Peel is fantastic. And Caffeinated One says The Flying Squirrel. Actually, that could count for comic books, because now they're in comics as well, from Dakota Ring Theater's Mask of the Red Panda. Flying Squirrel. Kit Baxter is awesome. And if you are unfamiliar with this character, you owe it to yourself to go to DakotaRingTheater.com and listen to the audio dramas. You can pick up their comics through Comixology, and you can get them in bookstores from Monkey Brain Comics. They are fantastic. It takes place, I think it's pre-World War One is where the comics take place, and the audio drama has now moved past, not World War One, sorry, World War Two, and the audio drama is now past World War Two. So it's a lot of fun, and yeah, talk about breaking down gender roles. There's definitely some awesomeness there. And we talked about the actress, but I need to mention Xena.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's Xena. How can you not?
Exactly. She is amazing. You can just watch her series over and over and over.
And I have a thing, much like I said with Rogue, I love the idea of a character being a villain and then turning into a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that redemptive path is huge for me. What was I going to say? Many people mention Catwoman, and I keep saying Catwoman's a villain. She's not a superhero. Even though she does altruistic things, she's still a villain. But yeah, she's awesome. And even though she played Catwoman the least, Eartha Kitt is still my favorite.
Can I add one?
Go right ahead.
I've been doing an epic rewatch of this British show called Misfits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love
Misfits.
Which
is amazing. And I want to talk about Kelly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kelly is the best. Kelly just, she starts out as this character who's just so messed up. Like, they're all messed up. They're all, like, doing community service because of various misdemeanors. And, then suddenly she can, like, read people's thoughts. And so part of it is, hey, I can hear that people are, like, listening to all of the awful things that they have to say to us. But then, like, she becomes just so heroic. And, like, she honestly cares about people. And she sort of learns empathy through reading people's minds. Mm-hmm. Also, I learned how to understand her accent, because she's got the thickest accent.
It's funny, because in the first season, you're like, I have no idea what Kelly is saying. And by the end of it, you're like, I know everything she's saying.
Yeah.
Why do I speak Chav all of a sudden?
and I could be wrong. I haven't looked it up. My internet's freaking out on me. But didn't Lauren Sacha play her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her look for her. I think she's just perfect. Again, a perfect casting role.
So I've got Mark Cabot from Epic saying, let's not forget about Bo from Lost Girl. Yeah, you'll never forget. He'll never forget about Bo. let's see. He also said one of his favorites is Gemma Simmons from S.H.I.E.L.D., just because it's much harder to take up the mantle of responsibilities of doing superhero stuff when you're just a regular person. And I am not familiar with S.H.I.E.L.D. because I don't have TV. But I will eventually get around to watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. All of the women on there are awesome. I mean, we've got Sky, who is this hacker, and she's sort of the audience of person that we get into it. She learns all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff while we're learning all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. And she was annoying at first because they were doing this whole plot line with, oh, is she working with them? Was she working against them? Once they got past that, I hate stuff like that. Then she becomes really cool. And then Melinda May, who is played by Ming-Ma Nen, I think her name is.
That sounds close to the actress I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think she did the voice for Mulan and stuff like that. But yeah, she's amazing. She's, what do they call her? They call her the cavalry. Because she's a one woman, she can do pretty much anything. She can just be dropped in a situation and it'll be done, completed.
So I think we're all pretty much saying, though, that Marvel lately has been doing a pretty good job with their ladies, with their women.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope we're going to get a lady Thor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about the fact that Thor's going to be a woman. And I think that is fantastic. I've heard people argue about it. And it's Loki, what is it? Loki had a child with a horse or something. And, once Thor was an alien, once Thor was a dog, and you've got a problem with Thor being a woman? I think not. I think
Thor is a dog.
Exactly.
And basically the story is a woman picks up, I always say it wrong, and Claire's going to cringe when
Mjolnir.
She hears it. Mjolnir.
There you go.
And meow, meow.
Meow, meow. That's the joke I use all the time, and it makes Tech rolls his eyes every time I say meow, meow.
It's meow, meow.
From the Thor movies. But anyone who picks up Thor's hammer and has the power to wield it is essentially Thor. So it's not Thor's turn, the character is turning into something. No, it just means something else can use that. I saw a crossover comic, and I don't know if it's an official comic or a fan fiction comic. But it's a comic where Thor and Wonder Woman are fighting together, and she sees his hammer and she picks it up and she hands it to him, and they finish the fight, and he goes, wait a minute, did you just, and she's like, yeah, but that means, she goes, I don't want your hammer.
Yeah, that I think is official. I think that's official. I know that there was a crossover and that those two characters got pitted together because they're both gods and goddesses.
Absolutely. So,
can I just play devil's advocate on this one?
Sure.
Because I'm really on the fence with it. I think it's a good thing to have a female Thor. I understand that, but I'm on the fence with it too. If you're going to introduce a new character, why not make her her own self? Why not give her own persona, her own history, all of that? I'm really on the fence with it.
I think she will be. Because the whole deal with Thor, which is something that they sort of got away from and it seems like they're coming back to, is that a human or whoever will pick up Thor's hammer, and Thor is more like an avatar that comes onto them, like a personality, but they still have a personality that's separate. So I think we're still going to get an actual, whoever her name is. Mm-hmm. Character, mm-hmm. And she's going to be taking up this mantle, but they're saying she's Thor.
So is it more along the lines of the Green Lantern?
But still, she's going to have the Thor personality and history, and she's still going to call Odin dad. And mm-hmm.
So it's more she's a Trill with a symbiont in her.
Kind of.
Okay.
It's really difficult because they sort of go back and forth. Claire, I was trying to explain how Thor works.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult.
Yeah.
I just think if you're going to introduce a new character and you're going to get her out there and get everybody's support behind her and stuff like that, why not introduce a totally new character? And don't get me wrong, I think that the female Thor will be interesting and I'll follow it and go for that. I'm just playing the devil's advocate. I read a lot of forums about the female Thor, and there's quite a bit of people who are saying, why? Why just leave it as it is? If it's not fixed, don't, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Leave it as it is. Mm-hmm. Develop a new character and go from there.
I think one of the arguments, yeah, though, is Thor is such a huge title. If you came up with a completely mm-hmm. new character and a new concept, how many people are going to read it? If you do something like this with right. the name Thor, how many people are going to read it? And I think no matter what they end up doing, the discussions that have formed from this have been really important.
And mm-hmm. I think I would agree with that.
It's definitely brought a lot of conversation to this topic. And I understand, you know, people are like, well, just come up with a new character. There's a lot of talk about that when, like, with the new 52, and they've got yeah. different characters playing these other ones. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why didn't you just come up with your own thing? And it's like, mm-hmm. well, it's not really going to reach that many people. Whereas this way,
although,
we can reach
right.
people. And representation is important.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people, too.
Say again, Angela?
Although Ms. Marvel has reached a lot of people too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. It's there should be both. Is my thought.
Yeah.
We need new characters, but we also need to kind of chip away at the old guard as well. There's one that I completely spaced out and didn't bring up, and is definitely on my list. Tank Girl.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Tank yeah. Girl. Is awesome. I haven't read the new ones. I know that there was the Kickstarter and everything, and I haven't gotten around to reading the new stuff, but Tank Girl has always been a favorite of mine. It's another one of those, like, yeah, she's cool. She's kicking butt. She's doing whatever the heck she wants, and she's awesome. I love her. And I do want to give an honorable mention to, I think her name is Silhouette. It's one of the old Watchmen from the Watchmen comics. And I feel like there's so much more to that character, and I want to know more. But she was awesome.
Wouldn't it be cool if they went back and developed some of those? Because I agree with you on Silhouette. I think she would be a fantastic one to develop and go with. And can I just throw it back to Thor for 2 seconds?
Sure.
Kudos to them for not having it be Daughter of Thor.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I mean, you know, you get Thor. That whole...
Or Lady Thor.
Yeah. And... Yeah, or Lady Thor. I mean, I'm glad that there's not the whole, and I'm sorry, I am a Batman fan, but, you know, the whole Batman, every cousin of Batman is, you know, Batman's third cousin, and, you know, so I'm glad that they're not doing that.
You know, for an orphan, he's got a lot of family.
Yep. mm-hmm. Although Barbara Gordon is awesome.
It's a lot of capes.
Yes. And Oracle is amazing as well.
I follow this Twitter feed called Actually mm-hmm. like Batgirl, and it's like just Batgirl memes, but it's pretending like I think in the comic she is a graduate student and academic, but it's like all of these academic things. Like, sorry, man, I have to collect my study specimens tonight. I can't go out with you, or something like that. A ridiculous thing.
Okay, so now I'm going to turn to some of the feedback. We've got some questions in the Q&A, and I know that Zach Mann and Mark Cabot have been waiting for us to answer these. Sorry about that, guys. But first, we're going to start with Zach Mann asks, are Deja Thoris and all the Marvel princesses like Storm now Disney princesses? Thoughts?
Yeah.
Not until we see the action.
And Princess Leia.
I was going to say, Princess Leia is a Disney princess, then I say yes.
Yeah.
go ahead.
I gotta say, wouldn't it be cool though to have like a line of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think.
Or any action figures with women?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, any?
I think that'd be fantastic. Yep.
Well, and how many of the Marvel characters are also princesses anyway?
Yeah.
Yep.
But
exactly.
Leia.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
And that goes into
I think they're missing a huge marketing thing.
The next question from Zachman is, how can we get toy collectible companies to stock more women toys, especially ones with the part you need to complete mm-hmm. the bonus toy? I
No, that's a really good question.
Do it? I don't know. I want them to do it.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm tired of the female toys being the alternate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tired of Gamora not showing up on Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah, seriously. Like.
Oh, exactly.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No. No.
The X-Men were such a diverse group, and for some reason, who do you see in toys? You know, you see Wolverine, you see Xavier, you see Scott Summers, and you don't really see, you know, Rogue and Storm and Kitty Pride and all of the awesomeness. So
they've got this messed up idea that only boys buy action figures, which is ridiculous because even when I was young, I bought action figures. And they've got this messed up idea that boys are not interested in having toys that are girls.
Yeah. I can tell you every boy I know who's played with Barbie dolls will tell you that's wrong.
Yeah. And
because it's a lot of them.
And I've heard a lot of complaints from boys and girls alike that, you know, they're buying like the Guardians of the Galaxy and Gamora's not there, so they think they're getting gypped because not all of the Guardians are there.
Yep. And, exactly.
You know, you buy Avengers and you can't find Black Widow.
Well, and I remember going to school back when we had lunchboxes and girls had the Wonder Woman lunchboxes. Yeah, they thought it was the coolest thing ever. And had it, and even She-Hulk had, now I'm on Thor, She-Hulk had a lunchbox, and everybody thought that was super cool, because the thermoses were the bomb diggity, and that's what you wanted. And if you could get a good friend to trade you, like, Wonder Woman's thermos for something else, then you had two superheroes. So really, it's just kind of changed, I think, in the last, you know, 20 years as to why they're not giving any voice to the line for girls. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I remember they need up to and you'd have develop 50 it. Variants of Batman with every different suit he owned, and they all looked like the same guy. And there were no Catwomen, there was no Batgirl, there was maybe one Batgirl, maybe if you searched for it, but there was no Catwoman.
Yeah.
And with Batman the animated series, a lot of the female characters became huge. Harley Quinn, a character created specifically for that show, which then became in the comics, which I think is like the first instance of something like that happening, where a television show influences the comics. And even so, it's only until the Gotham games for the consoles that you're even starting to see any Harley Quinn merchandise. Everybody loves Harley Quinn. Everybody. Like, is there anybody here that doesn't love Harley Quinn?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Okay. Settled. That this study concludes everyone loves Harley Quinn. It's very scientific, don't you know? Four people. But yeah, no, I think the best way we can influence what kind of toys there are out there is stop buying the sets that exclude Gamora and exclude the women. Don't buy Lego Friends. Mm-hmm. I know that has nothing to do with the superheroes, but the Lego Friends aren't... No, but just buy the regular Legos. Nobody cares about Lego Friends. Lego Friends is horrible.
I think Legos
don't... No, don't even get me started on Legos. I'm furious with the whole archaeology and the whole set that they're coming out. They're supposed to be coming out with those four of women, and they're only making a minuscule amount. So... You know, don't even think that you can get anything like that, because you need to have friends and pals.
The Legoland Play Center, and they had all the different variations. And then the Lego Friends was completely ignored. There were a couple of people in there basically trying to get away from the noise. So that rests my case there. But stop buying these sets that exclude. Stop buying anything that is trying to genderfy toys. Toys don't have gender. Easy Bake Oven is for boys and girls. You don't need to get a different Easy Bake Oven to give to your boy. It's the same freaking toy.
Yep.
That is one of my big pet peeves. I refuse to, and I, this could be a whole other show, but I refuse to acknowledge that toys are for boys or for girls. I refuse to acknowledge that books are for boys or for girls. I was having this conversation with my husband the other day. Babysitter Club, boys can read, and there are good topics in there for kids of any age. Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew, there, it doesn't matter the gender. Both of them can read it.
So no.
That's my rant. Yep. My rant is stop buying gender-specific toys. And when you go to McDonald's and they say, do you want the boys or the girls, say, no, I want the insert this toy. Don't let them get away with that. There is no such thing as a boy toy or a girl's toy.
Yep, absolutely. I totally agree with this. I actually had a huge experience with this because my nieces are young, and I, when they were born, I bought them dump trucks. I thought, you know, those big, giant Tonka dump trucks, because I'm very much that, hey, you can do this, you can be an engineer, you can do whatever you want to do, just don't let the stereotype hold you up. And I had somebody just tell me that I was dumb and needed to get them a doll, and went on, and I said, I promise, in the length of my being an aunt, I will never buy a Barbie. In my whole entire life will I ever give them a Barbie. They can have dump trucks and balls and stuff like that.
When my nieces, my oldest nieces, which are very old now, when they were young, I was in high school, and I went and I saw there were these pajama type costume deals, and there was Superman and there was Batman, and I bought one of each and I gave it to them, and they were a little big for them, but they were really cool, and they were running around the house and they were playing with it. And the person at the store asked me how old the little boys were. When I said that they were girls, they said, oh, but these are for boys. I said, no, they're not. Shut up. And they loved them. And they wore them until they no longer fit them. But I constantly had people telling me, well, why didn't you get a Batgirl one? And I'm like, well, one, there wasn't one. And two, why can't she be Batman? And I've got a Batman shirt that I wear all the time. And people will come up to me and they'll go, oh, cool, Batgirl. I'm like, is this purple? Is this red? This is not Batgirl's logo. This is not Batwoman's logo. This is yellow. This is Batman's logo.
Exactly. 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 And I think that's the stereotype that we have to kind of try to get people away from. I went to a bakery with a friend to order a birthday cake for her daughter's fourth birthday, and she wanted Spider-Man. She didn't want anything else. She wanted Spider-Man. And the lady, she said, but she wanted it pink in, on the inside, you know. Mm-hmm. And the lady refused to do it. She wouldn't do it because girls, Spider-Man is a boy's character, and that's not for girls. Oh, I really, it wasn't about making it pink on the inside. It was, she didn't want to do Spider-Man for a girl.
That's the weirdest thing, when people like choose to lose money rather than get over their own misogyny.
I agree totally. Absolutely.
How is it helping you?
It makes no sense.
I don't understand. Like, how does that help you at all?
Exactly. Go ahead. Arguing with a 4-year-old girl's birthday request? It's a 4-year-old kid, for crying out loud. Make the cake.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
as we've been talking, some more feedback has come in. We've got more mentions of Storm, and we've got more mentions of the Flying Squirrel. And Mildred Katie says, Barbara Gordon, she has a crime-fighting career, gets damaged, and finds a way to still fight crime. And that's true. That's why we love Oracle. You know, she's paralyzed, and she continues. Scott Roche says, Katana from the Outsiders. Very cool looking, by the way. That's a great costume. Supergirl or Wonder Woman, She-Hulk is good too, says Heidi Jenkins. And Scott Rush also says, also Crazy Jane. I don't know Crazy Jane. Does anybody know Crazy Jane?
No.
She looks cool. We'll have to look her up. And Scott Roche and Uncle Monster both gave the joke of, there are female superheroes, question mark. Aha, very funny.
Very fun.
By the way, Uncle Monster and Scott Roche both recently posted about the insanity that is the, for instance, Scott Roche was the one that had posted the thing about girls want to date superheroes and boys want to be superheroes and how insane that is. And Uncle Monster, being the one that sent me the Wonder Woman thing, is definitely, these are jokes, just to clarify that there, so nobody gets upset.
But I actually have a handbag that says, or not really handbag, but more of a tote that says I only date superheroes, but it's got both men and women on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, it's got both Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman, and like, aw.
Speaking of, I'm suddenly reminded, let's not forget about Hit Girl. Hit Girl's kind of a fun new superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's fun and brutal. And under any other tutelage would have been a villain, I think. But, so yeah, those are our favorite superheroes. I'm sure that there are more, and we would like to see more. Does anyone have any last honorable mentions before we go? Anyone that might be a villain, but you'd like to bring it up? No? No one?
I have one.
I love Elastigirl.
Elastigirl.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's fine. Elastigirl's awesome. I had one from a comic book again called Kabuki. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I hope you can.
We can. Yep.
Cool. There was a book called Kabuki by David Mack. It's not that well known. I think it was by Image. And it's the main character is Kabuki or Ukiyo. And it's, if you want explosions in your sort of superheroes and explosions and action and everything, this is not the comic. It's very introspective and philosophical. And it deals with a character, the first book kind of deals with a character escaping her life as a sort of hired assassin, government agent. And the rest of the books basically take place with her discovering what her identity is after that. And I really recommend them. And she's an awesome character.
Fantastic. Angela?
I want a Black Widow movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, so much. Scarlett Johansson, she wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I got through Lucy by pretending that this was Black Widow, sort of on an undercover, deep cover thing.
Me too.
She was using Stark Tech to do all of the crazy things. But, like, they keep saying we've got a plan and it's apparently filled with men, and I'm like, change the plan.
Yes.
You've got a breakout. Well, Scarlett Johansson was already a star, but you've got a breakout character who was kind of laughable in Iron Man 2. You know, she did flips and had hair, but then in Avengers under you know, Joss Whedon's writing, and he can always bring the best out in actors. Then she has so many amazing scenes. She was, you know, a powerhouse. And then in Captain America 2, it pretty much should have been called Captain America and, more importantly, Black Widow.
Exactly.
Just amazing. Exactly. In it. So it's time. It's time, Marvel.
Can I add to... definitely. Can I add another one with that then, which is Peggy Carter?
Yes.
Because I adore Peggy Carter, and she was in the first episode of the second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and
yep.
I love her, and she kicks butt, and she's a woman in a man's world in the first Captain America film, and she goes on to co-found S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah.
And she's awesome.
Have you seen
a
digital short with her?
Yes, I can't wait for the series when we get it as well. The fact that we're getting a series with her, and Marvel is doing a series, 13 episodes of Jessica Jones, makes me so happy. But yeah. I just would like a female led film in the cinematic universe as well to go with it.
Yeah,
please, Marvel, please. Yeah.
100% agreed. And talking about Scarlett Johansson, by the way, she's a little bit of a nice superhero there herself. If you've seen any of her responses to the questions that are asked of her when she's sitting next to her male co-stars, you know, things like, oh, what did you do to get in this role? What did you, you know, acting choices, yada, 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 to Robert Downey Jr., who's basically just playing himself.
Exactly.
So what diet did you have to do in order to get into your costume? I was like, what?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll give her definite credit for that. I'd like to just throw a nice little shout out to Catwoman and Poison Ivy and Harley mm-hmm. Quinn. And even though they're villains, they all have their own reasons for doing what they're doing. And I'm really enjoying, I keep reading this really neat interactions between Harley and Cassandra. Is it Kane? Is that her name? She's one of the Batwomen.
There's Kate Kane. Maybe I don't know it. Cassandra's sending.
Anyway, and it's really awesome, and I'm loving it. We also have another question in the Q&A. Mark Cabot says that he thinks the Lasso of Truth is quite possibly one of the most powerful tools a superhero can have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to deal with the monologue to find out what the villain is doing. It's just like, dude, what are you doing? Okay, that's what you're doing. How can I stop you? Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to hang someone off a building to interrogate them. Them and say, okay, let's talk.
Yeah. There was a nice comic that I saw where it was a community group that were against Wonder Woman, and there's this guy shouting and saying how she dresses like a whore and she does this and these are all the things that's wrong with her. And then I'm pretty sure this is a fan one, but she lassos him and says, what is your problem with me really? And he's like, nothing. I don't want anyone to know that I dress up like you sometimes. I'm just really scared that, you know, you're going to be my boss one day, you know? And it's like,
nice.
So I'm pretty sure that's a fan comic, but it was.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Can I throw one out? I just got a text from one of my friends, and she's like, you absolutely cannot end that conversation without talking about or mentioning Ellen Ripley from the Alien series.
Yes. Oh, yes. How could we forget about Ellen Ripley? Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. She said absolutely not. And so there's nobody else that could have played her besides Sigourney Weaver.
No, definitely.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver owned that role.
I think Sigourney Weaver deserves superhero status just for making that basketball shot on the third time what was the awful movie?
Resurrection.
Yes, Resurrection.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if we're getting into that kind of a character, I can also say Sarah Connor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yep.
And on that note, we're just going to go around and everybody's going to say where you can find them on the internet. And what I'd like my listeners to do is, why don't you let me know who your favorite female superhero is? And let us know, who did we glaringly forget? Because we always forget somebody. So you can call in at 347-NUTTY42. You can comment on the blog, nimlast.org. Or you can go to facebook.com/group/NUTTYBITES and leave a comment and let us know, who did we forget? So where can we find you on the internet, Claire?
Oh, thanks. This was so much fun, by the way. I really enjoyed it, even though I kept going in and out. you can find me at pretty much everywhere as Maya Fire, which is MAIAFIRE. That's on Etsy and Twitter and my Facebook art page. I'm on Intro to X podcast, which is about the X-Files. You can listen to old episodes of Carnicast with me, where I'm very nervous doing those, and possibly a podcast on the Defenders next year, which I can't wait to do.
That'd be fabulous.
Awesome.
Yes.
And Angela, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AngelCakes83. You can also find me on Tumblr there, where I post old panels of Marvel comics from the 60s and sort of point out the awkwardness and sometimes hilarity of that. I have Daredevil fighting the owl.
Nice!
You've got a big owl and the big mechanical owl, and they're saying, oh, that's the most dangerous weapon ever. And I'm like, really? It's a big mechanical owl.
I need to follow you on Tumblr. This sounds hilarious.
It does.
Then I have a podcast, Through the Pages of Sherlock Holmes, where we read through the Sherlock Holmes canon story by story. We have old episodes of the Red Dwarf intro cast, where we're still getting through the books. We should be finished by December, so if you want to catch up, now's a good time. And I wanted to plug another podcast. I was recently a guest on this podcast called The Misfits, M-I-S-S-F-I-T-S. It's an all-female comics podcast, but they do, like, other topics within media, and it's really awesome, and I was recently asked to be sort of an on-call guest contributor to it.
Awesome. I got to check them out. I haven't heard of them before.
Yes, yes, they're awesome. It was on The Misfits talking about misfits.
Yay.
Very cool. That's fantastic.
That Heather, tell us about where we can find you and where we will be able to find you soon.
Well, I'm just on Facebook at Heather Henricks, but you'll be able to find me at fearlessafter40.com, and hopefully, we'll be launching the podcast November 1st-ish, end of October. So I'm really super excited and really super nervous, but I think it'll be fun.
Awesome. There's no better way to get good at podcasting other than just doing it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Absolutely.
So thank you everyone for watching live, and thank you everyone for listening at home through the MP3 feed. Join us again when we debate something awesome. Bye.
Bye.
Faster than a shambling zombie, more powerful than the Slender Man, able to tell compelling stories in a single household, it's Flash Pulp! Murder, mystery, detective stories, zombies, Carwick the Spider God, and more. Skinner Co. brings you 10 to 15 minutes of audio pulp every week. They produce for fun, excitement, and the podcasting way.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it. Don't sell it. Don't try to make any money off of it. And link back to me, my site, and everything.